message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
Amen. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. We're just going to read two verses, don't worry. Verse 116 and 117. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. I'd like to read that one more time. And, you know, why don't you just read it with me? If this is your heart's cry, let's just make this a prayer right now together. Would you read it with me? Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. Awesome two verses. I'm going to read verse 117 again in the Message translation, and it says it this way. Stick with me, and I'll be all right. I'll give total allegiance to your definitions of life. I like that sentence. I'll give total allegiance to your definitions of life. In other words, we're going to let God define the way that we live our life. We're going to let God define what's good and what's bad, what's right and what's wrong, what you should do, what you shouldn't do. How many of you know that as believers, as Christians, we don't belong to ourselves? We've been bought with a price. And if you've been purchased, then you are the property of someone else. I know we don't like to think of ourselves as property, but we belong to Him. He bought us, not with silver and gold. He bought us with the blood of Jesus. So He has a right to determine how we should live. But it's not because He's a control freak kind of a God and He must be in charge and He's bossy. It's because of His love and concern. His commands, His statutes are for our good. So we let God determine the boundaries of our life. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your Spirit and your word that gives us guidance and helps us to know how to live. May it be our heart's cry that our allegiance would be to you and that you would give us instruction on how to live this life for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about boundaries today. A boundary is a line that separates. It's a dividing line. A boundary determines what's in bounds and what's out of bounds. And boundaries come in many different forms. A lot of you at your house, you have a fence. On one side of the fence is your neighbor's yard. On the other side is your yard. So a boundary determines what's in bounds and what's out of bounds. And when it comes to talking about boundaries, it's easy to think about sports, particularly football. Today is a big day in the sports world. Probably not as big a day as it has been in the past because of all of the nonsense that has gone on in the political arena and at sports and everything else. And a lot of people have sworn off football and they are not going to be watching the game today. I understand that. That's fine. Others have sworn it off and they haven't watched it all year, but they're going to make an exception today. They want to see who wins, the old man or the young man. Listen, I haven't liked all that's gone on, and I've watched less than a combined total of one entire football game this whole season. Now, don't go attaboy. I didn't watch much football to begin with. It just wasn't that big a sacrifice for me. But I'm going to go ahead and confess. I will have the game on today, something to do while I eat the food that's going to be made. So it will be on. Tom Brady, I wouldn't mind seeing him win. I mean, he needs a ring. I'm just hoping whenever he finally retires, he can find a commercial or something to do to supplement his income. I mean, we want him to make it. Wouldn't mind seeing the young guy win. See, I really don't care. As long as I'm eating food, it's going to be a good game. Just really doesn't matter. Also today, Super Bowl history is being made. Sarah Brown will be one of the referees on the field. She will be the very first female referee to ever referee a Super Bowl game. Now, we don't keep up with females and males anymore until it's the first something. I should stay away from all of that because I'm trying to be good today. So we'll have the first female referee in the Super Bowl. And the consensus is that she'll do pretty good. It's expected that she'll do well because women are good at telling men when they do something wrong. So that should be good. So a little bit, just I found this interesting, about the referee's shirt, the black and white striped jersey that the referee wears. Prior to 1920, referees wore solid white shirts with a bow tie. And at one particular college game, one of the teams was in all white, and the quarterback at one point called a handoff play and mistakenly put the ball into the hands of a referee who was also wearing all white. That's what led to the decision to get a different shirt, and the black and white striped jersey came into existence. I knew you wanted to know that. Now, here's the thing. First game, referee runs onto the field with the black and the white jersey, and he is booed. Not for a call. I mean, we've booed referees for their calls because we all know better the call. We can all see better from way up in the stands than he can. So we've all booed referees, but they were booed not for the call. They were booed because of the new jersey. You know what that proves? People don't like change. But we're not going there today. That's just a little side note. People don't like change so much that they booed the referee. So the referee, interestingly enough, he wears a black and white shirt, black and white, and he calls the rules of the game. He calls right, wrong, inbounds, out of bounds, black, white. And he blows whistles and throws flags to do this. Title of the message is Flags and Whistles. The referee does that. He keeps the rules of the game intact. He lets you know when you did wrong. Church, the Holy Spirit is the referee in our life. He's the one that lets us know what is right and what is wrong through the still small voice, but also through His Word. The Word of God and the Spirit of God are the referees in our life. Some things are easy. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. It's easy, right? There's a clear line drawn on some things when it comes to what's right and what's wrong. On other things, it's not so easy. And I've told many people this in counseling sessions or at prayer times. You've got to let the Holy Spirit draw the lines in your life because the lines aren't always clear. I know a lot of people would like everything. It's black and white. And I've heard people say that it's black and white. I'm going to suggest to you it's not black and white. I'm going to suggest to you that there is some gray going on. And see, the rules are the same in some areas for everybody, but the rules are not the same for everybody in all areas. You do get that right. There are personal convictions. And God may speak to you about something personally that He doesn't speak to everybody else. Well, why would He do that? Because maybe you had an issue with that and He had to remove it, or maybe He's trying to do something different in your life. We are unique individuals. Now, I'm not saying that we can all do as we please when it comes to the main things where there is a clear line. But on some things, you have to let the Spirit of God draw the line in your life. And sometimes the line is not straight. Sometimes it moves around just a little bit. I remember at church camps, I was the camp manager for well over a dozen camps. I did not like the manager position in all areas. It wasn't bad, except for this. I was in charge of sending people back to their dorms to put on appropriate clothing. I hated that, to enforce the rules. I'm good with rules. I just don't like to enforce them all the time when there's a gray area. We ought to wear appropriate clothes at camps. You do understand that from one camp to another, from one denomination to another, from one season or from one generation to another, the rules have been all over the place. You know, there are some denominations, girls ain't wearing nothing but dresses. I don't care if they're swimming or whatever. We didn't have that rule. That wasn't our denomination. Didn't seem to make much sense to me. But here's where we had our issues. We didn't allow shorts for many years, and then finally we allowed shorts. I know some of the younger ones are like, what? For years, we didn't allow shorts to be worn at camp. Now, if you're sitting there going, that's right, that's the way it ought to be, brother, holiness. I get you. And then we could start wearing shorts, but they had to go to your ankles or your knees. They couldn't be above the knee. And then they could be above the knee. You had to do the fingertip test. You had to stand like this, and if the shorts went to your fingertips or below, they were good. If they did not, they were not good. Kids be doing this. And I was the guy. You have to go back. This is what I heard all the time. This is all I got. Well, you can't go naked, so I guess that's good enough. I don't know what the rules are now. I don't do camp. Paul, let me know what the rules are when you go this summer. But here's what I'm telling you. The Holy Spirit should be the referee in your life. He blows the whistle. He throws the flag. Whenever you overstep, he throws the flag and says, no, that's a penalty. You need to get back on line, back on track. I'm going to give you 3 points this morning. Talking about boundaries. You need to understand that boundaries are good. Boundaries are good. Here's the first point. Boundaries help give meaning to the game so that a real winner can be determined. When it comes to a ball game, whether it's football, baseball, or whatever, if you don't have any boundaries, you have chaos and confusion. And that's okay for the little ones. When they run to third base after hitting the ball and they run to third instead of first, we're good with that. In fact, we want that to happen. That's entertaining. We don't have to keep score when they're 4 years old, 5 years old. I know some still do. I know when Connor was smaller and playing, and we didn't keep score at a certain level. I always knew what the score was. I couldn't help it. But then as they get older, you keep score. And you keep boundaries. If somebody in the major league hits the ball and they run to third base, people in the stands aren't chuckling. They're not going, oh, how cute. They are not good with that. So the rules matter more. The boundaries matter more as you get older. Imagine today's Super Bowl, and it came over the PA. Want to welcome you to the game today. Today, in the name of good sportsmanship and kindness and fun, we're not going to keep score. Click, it's off, right? So in life, boundaries help give meaning so that a real winner can be determined. Because here's the thing. Boundaries are there to help you live life the way God intended. God tells you this is good, this is bad. This is out of bounds, this is in bounds. This is right, this is wrong. And God wants you to do right. And so he's given you some boundaries to help you go and stay on the right track so you can go forward and you can make the most progress in your life. Because when you get out of bounds, it's not that God's up there going, I just hate that he doesn't listen to me. I'm going to strike him with lightning. No, God's like, I wish you would listen to me because that's going to hurt you down the road, and I have your best interest in mind, and if you'll stay on the track that I've laid out, you will do better. That's God's heart. Our purpose statement here at Angleton First Church is that we exist to influence and encourage people, A, to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus, salvation, but B, to live life as God intended, discipleship. See, getting saved is great, but that's the first step of a journey. It can happen that quick. It can happen today, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But discipleship takes a little bit of time, doesn't it? It's lifelong. But God wants to help us live life the way he intended. Let me just give you a few sub-points under this first one, just concerning boundaries. Boundaries help you win. Choice, and let's just talk about choice for just a little bit. One of the greatest powers you have is the power to choose. Joshua 24:15 says, choose you this day who you will serve. Are you going to serve Jesus, some other God, yourself? Who are you going to serve? Choose you this day who you're going to serve. And I would suggest that that needs to be everyday choice. Today I choose to serve Jesus. Tomorrow I need to get up and serve Jesus and put Jesus first. I heard somebody say this a long time ago. God doesn't make you a winner or a loser. He makes you a chooser. And then he encourages you to make the right choice. So you're not born a winner. You're not born a loser. But you are born with the ability to choose. And what you choose and the way you choose determines whether you win or lose in life. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 says this. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. I love that. You have this and you have this, life and death, A or B, good and bad. Choose good. Choose life that you will win, and not only you, but your children. See, your choices help you win or lose. And also, it says you and your children. Your choices affect others for the good or for the bad. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7 says this, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. And I would say that the righteous woman applies here as well. So what I'm telling you is that the way you live helps your children to succeed or fail. Helps your children to win or lose by the choices that you make. Choices matter. And choices can be difficult. But whenever we begin to follow God and we let the Holy Spirit and His Word be the referees in our life, it takes some of the options off the table. Instead of all of these options to choose from, you don't have as many because some of them are automatically no. So boundaries take some options off the table. Boundaries are intended to improve our relationship with both God and man. Boundaries protect us from ourselves. Boundaries protect others. Boundaries improve us with God and with others. You get more wins when you do things God's way. God's wisdom invites God's favor. We need God's wisdom. We all want His favor, but then we want to live life as we please. If you want His favor, you got to take in His wisdom. It comes together. Boundaries is about responsibility. It lets you know where one nose ends and another one begins. See, I have a space and you have a space. And boundaries help determine your space. Boundaries bring order and clarity and eliminate confusion. Imagine, again, the Super Bowl today, no boundaries. Just kick the ball somewhere, run somewhere for however long you want, and spike it when you're done. And I'll make a call. No, boundaries bring clarity. Imagine getting on the road the day after church. And while we were in service, they pulled up all the stop signs and took down all the traffic lights. And they painted over all the lines in the road. Now there's just roads. Some of you are like, well, yes. You do realize it's everybody that gets to do whatever they want, not just you. I mean, it'd be nice if everybody else had to follow the rules, but you could drive however you wanted to. You didn't have to stop at the red lights. That's optional for you because, hey, you're you. But no, it's for everybody. How would you drive on the way home? Coming to an intersection, what would you do? You'd be slowing down. Things would come to a grinding halt, and eventually there's going to be a collision. So boundaries are good. They keep things moving. Boundaries keep clarity there and eliminate confusion. Let me give you the second point. The boundaries and rules of the game are established by the maker of the game. Some of you may not know this, but our connections pastor, Brother Paul, likes to invent games every now and then. He has invented a few things. Listen, we have spirit warriors, not today, but usually on Sunday afternoon. He created that. It's awesome. It's really a God thing. God downloaded that into him a number of years ago. I don't have the time to explain it to you. But he also comes with these games every now and then, and when he creates the game, he makes the rules. Doesn't that seem fair? If somebody makes the game, they should get to make the rules. It just doesn't seem right for me to create a game and you determine, well, that rule ain't no good. It ain't fair. I would do it this way. Well, do your own game. Y'all see the flesh riled up a little bit there. Yeah, create your own game and come up with your own rules. But whoever makes the game makes the rules. In football, you may not like all the rules, and they change over time, but you know, here's just a couple. There's a face mask rule. You can't grab somebody's helmet by the face mask and tackle them. It's easier, but it's dangerous. So some of the rules are there because of safety issues, right? We don't want to break somebody's neck. There's also rules regarding time. There's a clock and only so much time. So when the clock runs out, the game is over. You can't just go, well, I want to play longer. I don't care what they want to do. No, there's a rule. There's boundaries there. And I'm reminded who's playing today. There's even a rule on how much air to put in the football. Will it ever die? I'm sorry. Same thing in life. The boundaries and rules of life are established by the maker of life. God created this thing called life. So when we shake our fists, who are you to tell me what to do? I'm the one that made the game. I could take you out of the game. No, God created life, so isn't it fair that he should make the rules? So when it comes to the boundaries in life, God is the one who painted the white lines. God is the one who said, this is out of bounds. Yeah, but that's so lame. God made life, God made the rules. God created the game, so he determines right and wrong. God wrote the rule book, what we call the Bible. See, you may not understand all the rules. You may not have figured out all the rules. But you don't have permission to change the rules and rewrite the rules. Like the face mask. We can't just rewrite that today. Hey, today, face mask is legal. Go ahead. It might be convenient. Might even feel good at times to yank somebody down to the ground by the face mask. But you can't change the rules. There's a reason for that rule, and it's obvious. It's safety. But there's also some reason behind rules that aren't so obvious, and you got to trust the one who made the rule that there is a reason for it. And you got to trust God when some things don't seem sensible. You got to understand that he made it and he knows more than you and there is a reason for it. Too many believers simply live by their feelings. If it feels good, then it's right. And if it doesn't feel good, it's wrong. You can't live by your feelings and please God. Rules change in a game too. I'll go back to baseball. That's the one I know best. But when Connor was younger, and y'all have been there, the rules were very lax. In fact, when it's time for one team to be in the field, they all go to the field. We ain't worried about 9 on the field. There might be 17 little kids on the field. And there might be 8 of them around pitcher's mound. It just don't matter. Spread out a little bit. Spread out. That's good. There was a season that there is no sliding into the base head first. If you slide in head first, you're out. Well, that's not a rule anymore. That was a rule when we were younger. There was a rule that you can't take a leadoff off of the base. No leadoffs. But then you come into a new season, and now you can take leadoffs. So the rules change a little bit. Even in life, if you've got a 9-year-old, the rule is they shouldn't drive. But when they're 16, they can. So rules change, different rules for different seasons. Even in God's kingdom, the rules changed a little bit from the Old Testament to the New Testament. You can eat shrimp now. If you haven't heard that story, you're not going to hear it today. But in the Old Testament, you couldn't eat shrimp. Thank God for the New Testament. We used to have to, in the Old Testament, they had to slaughter bulls and dove and oxen and whatever to atone for their sin. We don't do that in the New Testament. If anybody's doing that, we don't support that here at Angleton First Church. Even if it's a cat, we don't believe in that. It's okay, I like cats, some. If Elaine's watching, Elaine, that was for you. No, Jesus was the once and final perfect sacrifice. There is no more bloodshed needed. The perfect spotless lamb has shed his blood, so the rules have changed from back before the death of Jesus to now. And aren't you glad? The rules changed in this sense too. Jesus would come up and he'd say, you've heard it said this, 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 but I say to you this and this. Jesus is basically saying, the rule used to be this, but now the rule is this. A couple of examples. The rule used to be, thou shalt not commit adultery. The rule now is, you shouldn't even look upon a woman with lust in your heart. The rule used to be, you shouldn't kill someone, but now the rule is, you can't even hate them in your heart. The rules changed. Actually got a little tougher in some areas, didn't they? You can play the game of life out of bounds. You might have fun living out of bounds. Do your own thing living out of bounds. But you're going to be penalized. There is a penalty that comes with sin. It will find you out. It will cost you. And you will lose yardage. See, you're trying to go forward. You're trying to make progress. You're trying to make yards in your life. You're trying to make some gains. And when you get out of bounds, you're going to lose yards. You're going to be penalized. The Spirit of God's going to blow the whistle on you. You're going to have to back up a little bit. You're going to have to go back and do some things over. You're going to do some things that are out of bounds that's going to cost you some time. There's a penalty with sin. Oh, there goes the preacher talking about sin. Listen, there is sin. And I'm not doing it because I need you to live right so that I can feel good about myself. You get to live your life how you want to live your life. I'm not checking up on you. I'm just letting you know that there is a penalty for wrongdoing. So you might want to think it through before you decide to travel out of bounds. Well, Pastor, I did this and this and nothing happened. I'll take you back to the garden with Adam and Eve. There were some boundaries. Remember the boundaries? God said, it's a wide open field, except for this one spot over here. There's this one tree. The boundaries were wide. You can do it all, except for this tree right here. And what did they do? They went out of bounds, got involved with the forbidden tree, took that bite, and what happened? Nothing happened immediately. And that's what some are thinking. I'm out of bounds. Nothing happened. That's exactly what Adam and Eve thought. Look, God said we would die. We both took a bite, and here we are. Apparently, the devil was right. God was wrong. Nothing happened. Oh, it did happen. It took a while to manifest, but it happened. And some things happened somewhat immediately. I'm telling you, you can live life out of bounds. You can enjoy sin for a season. The Bible says that there is pleasure in that for a season. But season will be over, and you'll find yourself losing yardage. You will be penalized. It is to your advantage to listen to the referees, Holy Spirit, in God's word. I'll give you the third and final point. Crossing the boundaries is one thing, moving them is another thing entirely. Whenever you sin, you cross the boundary. We step over the line. But when you call sin something else and you rename it, now you're moving the line, you're moving the boundary. See, it's one thing to step over the boundary. It's another thing to push the boundary over. Whenever we step over the line, whenever we cross the boundary, the Bible tells us to own your sin, confess your sin, repent of your sin, and get back in bounds. Don't call evil good and good evil. Isaiah spoke those words years ago, and our nation right now excels in calling good evil and evil good. You do see that, don't you, church? And I'm not going to go down those roads today. Romans chapter 1, verse 32. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, but they also approve of those who practice them. So these forbidden things are not only done, but they're approved of, and they're even encouraged. We live in a day where sin is not only approved, but it's encouraged. And again, I won't go down these roads and give you specifics, but we are in a day where evil has been declared good and good has been declared evil. So, if you choose to rewrite the rules in your own life, God gives you the freedom to do that. You will be penalized. But whenever you rewrite the rules, you're moving the boundaries. And as America continues to move the boundaries further and further out, we're seeing a detrimental effect in our nation. I'm concerned of America's fate and have been for a long time, even more so now. Not concerned to the point I'm going to stress out. I'm trusting God. But things that I have told you even 10 plus years ago, we're seeing things move rather quickly now. We're calling evil good and good evil. We're being told, church, what we can say and what we can't say. You do know the freedom of speech is under threat. We're moving lines that have been established by God. We're approving and encouraging our kids to live outside of the lines. We're calling good evil and evil good. We have become, as a nation, deaf to the blowing of the whistle. God would blow the whistle on some things, and we don't even hear the whistle anymore. We live close to the train tracks here in Angleton. The first many nights that train would come blowing through, I'd wake up. Every now and then I will hear it, but usually I don't hear the train anymore. It's just as loud as it's always been. I just don't hear the blowing of the horn because I've heard it so much. And that's what's going on in America. We have turned a deaf ear to God for so long, we no longer hear the blowing of the whistle. And since we don't hear the blowing of the whistle and we don't see a flag being tossed, we conclude that it's okay. And I'm telling you, it's not okay. There will be a penalty. We will lose yardage. I'm going to close with a story that most of you are familiar with, but I'm going to give you a little something about this story that maybe you haven't realized. It's a story of the Apostle Peter denying the Lord. I know most of you know the story. It's found in all four of the Gospels, but the Gospel of Mark reveals a little something that the others do not. I'm going to read to you two verses. Mark chapter 14, verse 30 says this. Jesus is talking to Peter, and he says, "This very night, before a rooster crows twice, you yourself will deny me three times." So get the numbers. A rooster's going to crow twice, and then you're going to deny me three times. Remember, Peter had said he's the one, right? He would never deny the Lord, and Jesus told him this. Now, same chapter, 42 verses later, verse 72, chapter 14. This is right after Peter's third denial. Verse 72 says this, "Immediately a rooster crowed a second time." Let that sink in just a minute. He denies the Lord for the third time, and immediately a rooster crows for the second time. What does that tell you? It tells you that the rooster crowed the first time after the first or after the second denial. Does that do anything for you like it does for me? See, because most people think Peter denied the Lord once, twice, three times, and then the rooster crowed once, twice. But here's the way it happened. Peter denied the Lord once, rooster crowed. And then he denied the Lord two more times, and the rooster crowed a second time. What does that matter? Here's what it matters. When Peter stepped out of bounds, the whistle was blown. But he turned a deaf ear to the whistle, and he stepped out twice more. And the prophecy the Lord had given came to pass. Now, that story ends good, and we'll save the ending of that story. But you need to understand that the Holy Spirit, the referee in your life, when you misstep, the whistle will blow. But eventually, he will let you continue to live life out of bounds as you see fit, as you choose to do. We've all crossed the line. Romans 3:23 says we all fall short of the glory of God. We've all stepped over the line. Even after salvation, we've all stepped over the line. We've all gotten out of bounds. They're going to get out of bounds today in the game. Nobody, the goal is of the football game, not just to stay in the bounds. The bounds give the boundaries. The lines give the boundaries. But for us, yes, our goal may be to stay within the bounds. But I'm going to tell you, on your best day, you're going to fall short, and you're going to get outside of the lines at times. And aren't you glad that stepping out of bounds doesn't eject you from the game of life? So we all cross the line at times. It's a setback. There's a consequence. There's a penalty. But it doesn't eject us from the game. So when you cross the line, you have two options. One is to repent and get back inside the boundaries. And the other option is to move the boundary and say it's not really wrong. We have changed the boundaries in America. We could go down the list. When it comes to marriage, when it comes to relationships, we've made all kinds of new rules. We've changed the whole game. I am tempted to go down roads that I need to save for another day. I want to go back to Psalm 119, verse 117, where we started. Stick with me, and I'll be all right. I'll give total allegiance to your definitions of life. And when you fall short and you step over the line, 1 John 1:9 is the play to call. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Call that play and then get back and go again. If you choose to rewrite the line, rewrite the rules. See, a lot of people, whenever you do wrong, there's a guilt that comes with it. What do you do with the guilt? Confess your sin or convince yourself that it's okay. I would suggest confess your sin. Let the maker of the game determine the rules of the game. Amen? Stand up with me.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.